Tonight, the teaching is going to be on Yahweh being an Elohim of second chances. And a lot of it is really inspired from last week's teaching about Yahweh's providence. The providence that Yahweh's planning things. It doesn't mean everything that happens is Yahweh's will. But he's working, and when we're obedient, he calls us to go certain directions. He's working it. And you think about Tim's prophecy, how important prophecy is. Because when we take the word, even with Jonah, the paragraph Bible says, what did Jonah do before he died? The Psalms came out. He quotes the Psalms. That quickly, what did he release according to Hebrews 4? He released life. Words. And when you're going through a bad thing, what's coming out of you? That's it, I quit, I told you that was it! And we'll find, what's in you when you go through some bad stuff. But man, Jonah passed that test. It's a neat thing. But it's going to be in providence. Yahweh calling things and planning things. If it wasn't for Tim's teaching, I would have forgotten part of this. Because on the providence teaching last week, I looked at Mordecai, who refused to bow before Haman. And Mordecai was a prophet. The prophets don't know everything. David asked Nathan whether to build a house. Nathan said, yeah. And then Yahweh vetoed both of them that night, right? So they're wrong. So they don't know what's going on necessarily. But Mordecai doesn't kneel before Haman. What happens? All the Jews are going to get wiped out. Do you think he had any kind of wrestling? You and your big mouth, you just wouldn't give. You're the one guy that never compromises. Now, I can imagine what's going on in my mind. I don't know what he would be going through. If he would have just gave in. Because in this life, there's always compromises, right? And sometimes you got to compromise. But then other times, on certain things, no, you don't. And Mordecai didn't. And what was neat about the teaching with Hadassah, an actual Hadassah and Mordecai, it's neat if you even look it up, you say, what's the name of the book? They'll say, the Hebrews call it Hadassah, and some other names. The only ones that call it Esther are the Hellenized converts, Christians. It's not Esther, it's really the name of the book like Hadassah. It should be Mordecai and Hadassah. But anyways, in Mordecai's situation, what changed with the bow? The circumstances changed. That's the only thing that changed. And a lot of times when the circumstances change, we falter, we waver. Because certainly it got even worse. But if you focus on your Elohim, if you focus on Yahweh and Christ at his right hand, and you go, what's bigger, my God, my Elohim, and his son Christ Jesus, or my circumstance? I don't care if the circumstances get worse. I remain fast. And what he's called me to do is what he told me. What did he do? What did he speak to me in peace? Not when my mind was going back and forth and doing all this problem solving, multitasking. He didn't talk to us that way. He like floats in like a dove out of nowhere, and all of a sudden you get an idea. Where did that come from? There's no thought trails, no footprints. But what did he tell you to do when you're minding your own business? Oh, he told me to do that. Okay, now you're regretting it. Why? Well, because all these thoughts. Doesn't mean it's not him. But a lot of times you'd go, I'm sticking with what he told me in peace. Here's the word. So be ready for the circumstances to change. And if you're prepared for that, guess what? You're going to be a lot more likely to say, no, I'm not moving. And if I die, I die. Right? And we look at the worst case scenario right in the face. Christ can come back right now anyways, right? I'm not moving. No. No. And so in a life of compromise, when it comes to these things, I'm not moving. I'm not quitting on you. No. I refuse to. And I was talking to my sister last night, Rachel and I, and it was a late conversation, very unusual for both of us. But I was talking about second chances, and we miss it so many times. And we refuse to be obedient, and then we miss it. And I thought about the guy at the Gate Beautiful. He would have saw Christ there. Can you imagine his heart when he found out he was crucified? They murdered him. That was my one shot. My one shot. But he was ready for the second one, I believe. I think Dad said, some of these guys, they were ready. Like Peter walking on water, I think he missed some things. And that's why he goes, the next thing he asked me, I'm going to be ready for a second chance. And we have a God, an Elohim of second chances. And third chances and fourth chances. And that's what the teaching is on. And also, and then a neat thing is with Rachel and I, and when we're discussing this, iron sharpening iron, we're discussing this, and I go, and if we're refusing to be obedient out of fear or whatever else, ask him to catch your house on fire. She goes, what's that supposed to mean? And I go, I don't know. But if for some reason I'm not leaving, like the Jews should have left and the Christians should have left Nazi Germany, burn my house down. Get me out, please. if I'm weak, and Rachel started laughing. She went, yeah, it took 1,000 blind homosexuals feeling on Lot's house to get him out. Here's Lot in his house. He didn't know how bad it was, but he said he was righteous Lot. And he said he grieved him for the wickedness here in Sodom. And how bad did it have to get? A bunch of homosexuals blind and feeling all over his house. He's like, this is a lot worse than I thought. And I was like, yeah, okay, come on. You ready to go? Pack your bags. We're getting the heck out of here. I'm not living in that house. But that's what we should be. I'm not giving up on you. And when I'm weak, burn my house down or whatever that is. Now, it could be literal. Get me out. Get me moving. And how many times has he already done that for us? He came back. He goes, come on. You're like, you haven't given up on me yet? Oh, okay. Second chances. And then with the providence, impossible purposes of unexplained hardships. In Jonah, page 882. We're going to start off there. Really neat stuff with the Paragraph Bible. It's a free download on Telios Ministries, www.teliosministries.com. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. Paragraph Bible is going to say a bunch of neat things here with the book of Jonah. A couple things that I'll kind of bring up about Jonah and Nineveh, some of my notes I already had. The book of Nahum, here's what they say about Nineveh. Yahweh says about Nineveh, it's a city of blood, full of lies, piles of body without number. That's where Jonah's told to go. Piles of bodies without number. Islam is not the beginning of terrorism. Terrorism is universal. Islam was just a new name. Assyrians would cut people's noses off. Islam does that to girls too. If women don't obey you, what they do, they cut their nose off. You ever seen that? You ever seen like a skeleton's nose? That's what they do to women now. They cut the tip off, right? But the Assyrians would do that. They cut your hands off, and they would decorate trees with humans' body parts. And sometimes the humans would be alive. The Assyrians, Nineveh, the capital, would also skin people alive. Terrorism is nothing new. The indigenous people here in the United States, we talk about the Blackfoot and stuff, the disemboweling people, making them walk around a tree until all their intestines pull out. There's nothing new about it. But Jonah was being called to go to this place. And if you don't know where he's called to go, then what's the big deal? And actually, most Hellenized Christians have no idea, and they pick on Yahweh's prophet. And they'll be reproved for it. Yeah. But here's what the Paragraph Bible says. And this is how the Paragraph Bible starts off about Jonah. There's nothing strange about Jonah's reluctancy to take a mission to a distant heathen city. That's how the Paragraph Bible starts off Jonah. What does every Hellenized Christian say? Oh, Jonah, even the VeggieTales, which is really funny, except for the song, the prophet who never really got it. You guys will be judged for that. There's nothing strange about Jonah's reluctancy to go to a mission to a heathen city. Different heathen city, which appeared likely to expose him to great peril, both from the king and the people. Moses and even bold Elijah had shrunk from similar dangers. Okay. How important is that?
Yeah.
Here's a Paragraph Bible. Before you even read this, how important is that? Also, the thing the Paragraph Bible is going to show, the story is not about Jonah necessarily, but it's about second chances. And we're not talking about Jonah's second chance. Jonah was assigned to about Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Yahweh never reproves Jonah for flaying. He doesn't. But the story of Jonah being swallowed by a fish, did it serve a bigger purpose? That was Jesus Christ saying, as Jonah was dead for 3 days and three nights, Son of Man be in the heart. So here, so what's going on with it? I think Jonah wasn't sure what the heck was going on here. Where am I going to go? But John Shainite will say that Jonah, one of the reasons he might have fled is because, here's the next part. Israel was refusing to repent. Israel had already been warned what was going to happen if they refused to repent. And here's what he says about where Jonah wants to just die. Let me see here. Okay, but let me see. It's just a whole other idea, but They said, if Nineveh repents, but Jonah's own people would not repent, he may have wanted to die because he did not want to see and witness the doom of his own people who had already been threatened. So this is the doom of his own people. Have you witnessed the family members that reject you?
Yeah.
They don't want it. Does that hurt? And then you go witness some guy at Quick Trip and they take it and they take off? I'm never going to see them again. I quit. But guess what? He goes on to this also. He doesn't want to see the doom of his own people. They're going to get carried away. They won't repent. Golly. Who else asked to die because his people were doomed? Elijah. Elijah, after Jezebel, after he did all those things, here comes Jezebel and Elijah, and it's both in 1 Kings 19 and 1 Kings 19 when Elijah didn't want to go. They're not going to repent. They're going to be destroyed. Fine. I'm done. I want to die. So Jonah, Elijah, very similar, just like Moses too. And what we'll see is a neat thing about second chances and third chances is one of the things that the paragraph Bible is also pointing out was that in Romans 2, Yahweh gives everybody a second chance. Israelites was not a race of people. Anybody that wanted to become circumcised, get circumcised, observe the Sabbath, here's the Ten Commandments, so they weren't white. Blonde hair, blue eye, black skin, whatever. This was the original religion. Man fell away. Anybody could have done it. And Israel's rejecting it. And Yahweh goes, go to Nineveh. And what does Nineveh do? They repent, just like that. And going to go, man, Yahweh's looking at their heart. How many people is he asking you to go to? How many Christians out there, you're going to the wrong people, you're going to Israel. You're wasting your whole valuable resource of your life to the people who will never turn. And actually, I believe if the adversary can't stop you, the next best thing you can do is waste all your time.
Yep.
What you do is you interject people in their life that listen, and they act like they're going to do, oh, I'm going to do it this time. But you know tree by its fruit. So if you can't stop somebody, just have somebody subdue all their time. So I can see it with Jonah wanting to go back to Israel. They're never going to turn. Here's Yahweh going, go to Nineveh. And it was great. And Nineveh repents. Jonah, it doesn't say Yahweh, which is interesting. It says Elohim. And the king goes, okay. And the neat thing, look what this king does. And what an example for all the rest of the kings who did not repent. Let's take a look at this Assyrian king. What he says is neat because Mark Hankin says in verse 8 of chapter 3, let both man and beast cover themselves with sackcloths. Because can you imagine seeing chickens run around with sackcloths, cats with sackcloths, dogs with sackcloths, pet rabbits with sackcloths, everybody's got, nobody gets to eat, everybody's miserable. Hey, why is that chicken not got a sackcloth? Don't get a sackcloth, quick. Everybody, here's this whole thing. And why did he do that? Why did he do it? And let them cry unto Elohim mightily. And remember, Nineveh was not taught the word to repent. They knew what they were doing wrong. Yea, let them turn every man from his wicked ways and from the violence which is in their hands. Who knoweth whether Elohim himself may turn and grieve and then turn away from the glow of his anger that we perish not. What a great example for how many people that did not. They just said, because you always will. Okay. How many times have I had something proclaimed over me? You're going to lose this. Or you knew you blew it. And we didn't get down on our knees just like this guy. We could have. And this guy gave us a great... And actually, King David did the same thing with the son of Uriah's wife. When the baby's going to die, he gave all he could to do what he could. And it didn't change the circumstances. But you can see that the circumstances changed here. And Yahweh didn't say they were going to change. He didn't say in 40 days unless you repent, did he? Another example. So we look at the possible hardship. You think you've had a hard day? I've never been vomited out of an animal before.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I need some soap. Here you are. What does he have? I got to walk like 6 days. Okay, here I am. The neat thing Yahweh does with that is it would appear that the possible reason why Jonah didn't want to go is his death. It doesn't make sense. It wasn't that he was necessarily rebelling. He's just not quite sure. And what happened with him dying in the fish? He died. Right?
Yeah.
If I'm obedient and I die, Yahweh can resurrect me like he just did with the fish. Okay. And that, what a great lesson. A second chance is even Jonah. Jonah's not repented. He's given like a second chance after he's resurrected. Okay, he's ready to go again. What a neat thing there. But here's Nineveh. And so the possible purpose of the hardships, you're looking at that, because there's going to be times that you're going through hardship and you're going to want to quit. Your old man, and I just heard a teaching, said we do way too much listening to ourselves and not nearly enough preaching to ourselves. You should be preaching to yourself every single day. Mm-hmm. And we should be thinking, we should have our body so full of the Word of Yahweh that it's like TSA, that when a thought comes in, it's out. Nope, razor blades, nope, knives, no guns, nope. And how do you get rid of it? You preach to yourself Yahweh's Word. Because when the thoughts come in, you're going to have this the rest of your life. Not in this house. Not in this house. Christ could come back in 15 minutes. I repent. I don't want to discuss that nasty thought that I had.
Yeah.
But you get rid of it. But your possible hardships, it could be that some of the possible hardships you're going through is going to be something like Nineveh. And I believe what Dad said too. I believe that the sailors witnessed in Nineveh, that's the guy. And you can imagine them seeing him getting vomited back up. The guy that got swallowed. Yeah, of course it's the same guy. Who else would have got vomited here? Come this small guy vomit, and they would have go, that's the guy. It didn't say that, but it sure does make a lot of sense though. Esther chapter 8, verse 17. We don't have to go there, so we just taught there. It is 498. I guess you could turn there while I'm talking. Look at possible hardships, second chances. And who is Yahweh going to? He sees people's hearts. In the book of Esther, we look at providence. Great, really good writing Yahweh has. Isn't it nice? I talked to somebody, asked who their favorite book was, and they said the book of Esther. Okay, that's my favorite too. It is short. That's one of the reasons. No, I'm just kidding. But you just look at it, you go, okay, let's just take a look at the possible hardship. Vashti, she was a part of it. And it could have been that Yahweh told her not to go. And if that's the case, she would have been taken care of. If she was obedient, trust me, she's taken care of it. If not in that life, the next one. Vashti rejects the king. He's humiliated, possibly. Cambyses. Hadassah has to withhold her identity by Mordecai. It's not Uncle Mordecai. It's really her cousin. Mordecai refuses to bow down to Haman. And because he refused that, everybody's going to die. Haman gets exalted. And I didn't realize it was 5 years later until Dad pointed out last week. It was 5 years later after Queen Esther has been the queen for 5 years. I didn't know that. And then Hadassah does two banquets. What's the purpose of all? Well, we can look at the end of this possible hardships and all these different things and go, what were the results? Actually, we'll turn to 498. Did you guys turn there?
Uh-huh.
Turn to chapter 8, verse 17. And we're looking at this. And it could be sometimes we're looking at second chances for others that we think need another second chance. And Yahweh's looking at their heart going, they've had plenty of chances. You know, you look at Americans today, won't read the Bible. We got Word everywhere. And you won't pick it up and read it. Okay, you have plenty of chances. What was one of the purposes of Hadassah and all those different things? First of all, Mordecai gets exalted as king at the right hand of Cambyses, right? Or Ahasuerus, we believe is Cambyses. What else happens? The enemies of the Jews are wiped out. And in verse 17, in every province and every city wherewith the word of the king and his edict did reach, joy and gladness had the Jews in a banquet and a happy day. And many from among the people of the land were becoming Jews. Yahweh was adding to his family, guys. It's his family, his brood. Remember the parable about the wedding feast? And these arrogant people that weren't going to show up? How many Christians are like that? And I've been that too. We've been witnessing to people and they're not even interested. Well, don't take it personal. Where do you want me to go? And here's Yahweh looking at people in the Persian kingdom that would come into his family. And here's his brood. Hey, we got some more. And here they did. And they became Jews. It was fantastic. And then what happens after that? We believe King Cyrus was born. What does King Cyrus do? He rebuilds Jerusalem. And here's the rest of us that are going to go, golly, they didn't have those. They didn't have that kind of hindsight that we have by looking at it. But what are you going through? And how many second chances? And a lot of us, there's stuff we're not doing. And the purpose of sharing this is for, okay, help me get there. I haven't been doing it. And the first step you can do is at least address what you're withholding. And all of us are withholding something, unless you're Christ. And as an apostle, I wanted to know Christ through the fellowship of the suffering. We go, okay, what am I withholding? What's missing in my relationship? Listen, I think about relationships, husbands and wives. And I've worked for a couple where the guys were either idiots or liars, because they act like they had the best marriage ever and the best thing. And I look at their wife, and their wife's like, yeah, you heard them. And I look at her and I go, I don't think your spouse is agreeing with what you said. I also saw something on Facebook once. It says Chris Christofferson. What's his name?
Chris Christofferson.
A flaming liberal who hates Christ. It's this whole thing about women, how to take care of women. And I was like, I really like to interview the women in his family, because he's a liberal. Liberals hate people. Gonna go, it sounds really good, doesn't it? But we want to make sure we're not like those people. Living going, everything's fine. But we should get down on our knees every once in a while, maybe once a quarter, to go, where am I missing it? And don't go to the king without a pen and paper. He said, you don't go to a boss, you don't go to a meeting unless you got something to bring. Just bring it, show me. And he's there. Oh, I'll memorize all that. Oh, yeah, you're really ready for a lot of information, and you don't have a pen and paper to take this stuff down. We're talking about the creator of the universe and his son. They got lots of information, but we show up like, oh, I'll memorize it. Oh, really? Like your ABDs? The book of Exodus.
Oh.
What happened in the book of Exodus? The 10 plagues. What's the purpose of all this stuff? Well, we know in the book of Exodus that Yahweh was showing all of the Egyptian gods to be impotent in front of Moses and his children. Also judging Israel. And it says Yahweh was judging the gods of Egypt. So there's some sort of spiritual wickedness where there's demonic kingdoms or whatnot, and Yahweh judges them. So there's a serious war that Yahweh was going on in Egypt. We didn't know. And it could be that sometimes that we are involved in a very severe war. I look at sometimes when the United States goes to the Middle East or something, and here's these little tribes or whatnot, and they go, there's a real big problem here. It's called ISIS and Taliban or whatnot. Oh, okay, come over here, we're going to give you guns and stuff. You used to be a part of it. I wonder how many times we're in spiritual wars like that. But Yahweh said he judged the gods of Egypt. One of the reasons for the hardship. What's another reason? Did Yahweh get any new family members?
Don't know.
Yeah. Some of the people in Egypt became Hebrews. Second chances. What a God. All that stuff, second chances, going last call. Last call. And he knows when somebody's that close. And sometimes they gotta lose their lights, they gotta lose their electricity, they gotta lose their house. They have to have people stop enabling them, because Yahweh's trying to teach them a lesson, right? If a man doesn't work, neither shall he. 6 days you shall work, or 6 days a man shall work. But anyways, you gotta say, okay. And sometimes trying to get their attention, why they need to turn. They got one life. And we want to make sure we're not withholding that life. But Yahweh in the book of Exodus with Moses got more of his family together. And it sure didn't look like that. It looked like he's wiping everybody out. Remember the thunderings? It says the voices in the heavens and everybody's freaking out. I can imagine. And he goes, well, what did he get? What was the end result? Second chances for some of these Egyptians. Acts. Let's turn to the book of Acts, page 127. Who's another a second chance? Third chance?
Goliath.
Fourth chance? Fifth chance?
The guy who killed Goliath.
Turn to page 127.
The muscle man.
Samson?
Huh?
Samson?
No, the guy who...
Samson
did have a...
Samson, yeah.
That's what she said.
Sorry.
No, that other guy. He-Man. There is a He-Man in the Bible. No, but He-Man did get a second chance. Not He-Man. Do you guys even know who He-Man is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's getting by the Skeletor.
Oh, very good. Okay, I didn't know you knew that. Yes, Samson got a second chance. So what's your excuse? What's my excuse? Said it again! Throw me the ball again! You look at these quarterbacks at NFL, and sometimes the most best receivers, in my opinion, is probably not the best athlete. It's the most reliable receiver who values the ball, who didn't drop it. And he goes, I'm trusting you with this. How many times has Yahweh thrown us the ball? He hits us in the back of the helmet. I'm open now. Did you read the playbook? Don't lie to him, man. He's going to call you out on it. Why did you even ask that? You know what I did. No, I didn't read it. Okay. Ask for a second, a third chance. Acts chapter 7, verse 5.
Verse 5.
Yeah, well, chapter 7, verse 56. When Stephen dies, would somebody read verse 56?
I see the heavens opened, that one.
Yep.
And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God.
Keep going.
Oh. And crying out with a loud voice, they held their ears and rushed with one accord upon him, and thrusting him forth outside the city, proceeded to stone him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul.
Right there.
And they stoned Stephen.
Now we'll go down to the end of the second part of verse 60. No, I'm sorry, 8 verse 1.
And Saul was taking pleasure with them in his death.
Saul, now that when Stephen died, which I didn't know this, you were supposed to be stoned. And that was recent until Dad brought that up. If somebody was speaking blasphemy, you're supposed to stone him. But he was taking pleasure in his death. Yeah, I gotta go. Now, who was taking pleasure in the death of Stephen?
Apostle Paul.
Saul.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta hear this is. And what's neat, I don't know how accurate it is if you Google it. But it says that Saul was born right around like 6 AD, so he's not that much different age than Christ. But here he is, and what did he do? Now, he did it in ignorance, but taking pleasure in a death. And what did you, and God, golly, now skip to chapter 8, verse 3. Let me see, I think I wrote that down. No. Well, in chapter 9, we won't go there, but in chapter 9, he gets a second chance. Golly. Who gives him a second chance? Yahweh does. In Yehoshua. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? In verse 4, he said, who are thou? He said, I am Yehoshua, whom thou art persecuting. Oh, man. That's another second chance. And here is our Father, an Elohim of second chances. And looking, and kind of the theme of this is quit giving second chances to the people that have had second chances their entire life. Possibly. And start looking for people who have never even had a chance in their mind. The guy, the biker down the street, not the person begging, refusing to eat or work, unless Yahweh tells you to do it. Don't give him money. So I'll give you a job. I'm not talking about give you some dignity. Christ is coming back. But who's missing here? Second chance, and here's the Apostle Paul, and here's Yahweh's heart. We look at this going, God, what a neat thing. So Yahweh has used discomfort and torture techniques to turn people that could be turned. But there are some people that he knows won't be turned, because Sodom and Gomorrah weren't going to be turned. And he reasoned with Abraham. But if Abraham, he wanted to defend, because Abraham was wonderful, but I think sometimes we're witnessing to the Lot, not Lot, but Sodom and Gomorrah. No, just one little more, and the adversary is going, can't stop them, but they're useless, they're impotent. Why? They're sowing seeds into rocks. Think about taking all your valuable seeds and throwing them out in the parking lot. Oh, I'm just having faith. Yes, I'm having faith. Oh, but of course, the adversary appears an angel of light, so it may be soil, but you don't know that it's never going to grow. Or it'll be a little bit. How would you be the adversary? I give you a little bit. And Yahweh goes, go that way. You know, we don't need to see the fruit of Yahweh's plan. We want to. We want to raise somebody up and say, I'm the one that taught that guy about speaking in tongues. I'm the one that led him into this. I gave him a Rotherham Bible. I laid hands on that person. But is that what Yahweh wants? And all of us in here have had instances where you witness to a complete stranger and something, that and that and that, and something else happened. You never saw them again. You never knew what happened. You're like, oh, I just, and I had that going, oh no, they're going to fade away. They're just going to wither away without me. And then I go, wait a minute, Aaron, how did you even meet that person at the gas station? Well, I was minding my own business and I got what's called a word of knowledge. Don't go this way, go that way. And I got that word of wisdom. I was there to go talk to that person. Oh, so you're saying that somebody was telling you to go there? Yeah. He'll take care of them. And I think that's what we need to be doing a little bit more of, considering it, going and just witnessing and ministering. The churches are full of people that don't care. Churches are packed. As long as it's a good entertainment, don't open up the Bibles, put the scriptures up there, we dance, we sing, we get a little bit in there, we got our coffees there, that's fine. Those guys are fine. They're full. What's not full is people down the street, neighbors, widows, living in their house. People at gas stations and whatnot, looking at things. And don't look for the high and mighty necessarily. I was sitting with my son. We're going to a movie last week. And we're going to watch Captain Marvel. Because I have a crush on the actress. Oh, sure, I'll go watch a girl as a hero. What's she look like? Oh, okay. Just kidding. They came in there. I waited 15 minutes before the movie starts. We're sitting in there. And this couple comes in. And they look very homely. They look like nobody even knows them, whatever. And I looked, and she had a hoodie that said something, some sort of scripture on it. She kind of slouched down and really tiny. And I looked over at Caden. I said, "You want to know what angels look like, Caden?" "Yeah." "They're called messengers." They go, "Right there." "It's them?" "Yeah." "You know why?" I go, "Why?" He goes, "You wouldn't notice them." So I had to get up and walk up. I said, "I love your sweatshirt." And she went down. She said, "Thank you." And she did one of these. But I'm like, "Well, that means they're not an angel." I go, "Actually, that would be a perfect way for a messenger to act like I'm not. Hey, I'm undercover here. Don't give me any attention." But those are the people we should be looking for too. But I digressed. Let's see here, chapter 16, verse 22. If you just stick with it, witnessing, being on the ball, I think one thing that really got me activated again was Dad going on these booths. And I really thought before I went to those booths and those teachings that I was on the ball fishing. I didn't until I had to teach a whole bunch of people a whole bunch of stuff that I only knew the end result. But it got the ball moving. And it got me moving to going on the ball, ready to witness to anyone, anywhere. And then also remembering almost all the times when these things happened, I was unprepared, but I had a willing heart. And I had a phone with a Bible on. And guess what Yahweh would do? He would work with this knucklehead who's got hardly any information. And all of a sudden you'd see their eyes glaze over and I went, something just happened. It got me moving. And so I was talking to Rachel about that last night. We used to have to go to prophecy seminars or something. We'd go do 2 or 3 days and submerge ourselves. I go, it's time for us to grow up. We're supposed to be telling you. We're supposed to be growing up. We need to just get our butts moving now. What those things do is just, okay, I'm really getting ready to get moving. Just get moving now. Get into witnessing to people. Guard your heart. Look people right in the eyes. Act like everybody is ready to receive what you have. We have the living Elohim inside of us. The Ark of the Covenant that David danced before. Right there. It's in there. And if I'm enlightened, if I'm in love, and even if I'm not enlightened, I'm in rebellion, I can get out of my car, I can get down on my knees and say, I repent. I'm not where I need to be. I apologize. How do I serve you? He goes, she's right there. Who? Oh, great. I'm not even right back. If it was a girl, you might have tears and mascara. Go now. Do you really mean it? Do it. Get back to work. And think of how many times we're not showing up to work. I'm going to go right there. And get used to just on the street evangelism, wherever you go. Act like this is the last day you have. And give them some of the good stuff. And all you do is you say, well, okay. And I don't know, even know what to talk about. Find a conversation starter and then go into a testimony. I don't have scriptures. Then tell them a testimony about whatever. And then watch what Yahweh will do. And he'll start stirring some stuff up inside of them. And sometimes they'll be looking. And there's been times that I've witnessed to somebody, and I knew they were changed, and I thought I was a part of a brilliant thing. And then 2 years later, I was like, yeah, because we talked about this and that. And they're like, that's not what we talked about. And it was as if Yahweh was interpreting something inside them. He has some sort of translator. The words that were coming out of my mouth, he was, nope, we're just going to twist this word and do this word. And all of a sudden, but it's exactly what they needed. Transforms their life. How many times have you given somebody a prophecy, and then later on you ask them about the prophecy, and they're like, well, that's not what I heard. I heard this. You're like, man, that's cool. I didn't even know that. It's like you're not even in the same room. Where were we? Acts chapter 18, verse 6?
22.
Okay. Oh, 16:22, sorry?
Yeah.
Did somebody read that?
And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates, rending off their mantles, were giving orders to beat them with rods. How far do you want me to keep going? 23.
I'll go so I can kind of speed things up so I don't go too long. The multitude, the people, said, beat them with rods, laying many stripes. They thrust them into prison. Here's a prison keeper safely to keep them and put them in charge, thrust them to inner prison, lock their feet up, put their hands in stocks. You ever seen people in the movies when they take their handcuffs off, they do this? It's because it's not comfortable. They're going to lock this stuff tight. Feet, hands, they keep it bound, and they thrust them into inner prison. Let me see here. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, being at prayer, began singing praises unto Yahweh. And I think that comes back to preaching to yourself. And David in Psalm 63, be ready to start preaching to yourself. Do they feel like singing? They force themselves to preach to themselves. And about Psalm 63, here's David going, here I am, I have no food, no water. And what does he do? He forces himself to think about, I had a vision of thee, as in thy sanctuary, I had a vision of thee, to behold thy power and thy glory. What does David force himself to focus on? Yahweh's sanctuary, where he's going. Here's Paul going, man, this stinks, man. It hurt. I've never been beat like this. They force himself to sing. Okay, what happens after they sing? Verse 26, a great earthquake. Okay. What happens after the earthquake? All the doors open. Okay, what happens after that? All the bonds were opened. All the locks open. Okay, what happens there? We skip down to verse 29. And leading them forth outside, here's the guy that locked them up. Sirs, what must I be doing that I may be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Yehoshua. Yeah, he said, baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, nope. We did not. He said, believe on the Lord Yehoshua, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of Yahweh, and with him who were in the house, and taking him in that hour of the night, he bathed them from their stripes and was immersed, he and his, and one and all, one and all on the spot. Yahweh got up. There was a purpose to it. Second chances to the guy that's going to beat Paul and Silas. And could it be that the only chances this guy's going to get saved is if Paul gets beaten and this guy's life's possibly in jeopardy? That's the only chance? God, what kind of reward is Paul and Silas going to get? That we know our Father, we know our Lord. They know that they love us more than we could ever imagine. And that He wants us to prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers, right? This was the only option for that guy to get saved. And Yahweh took it. And here's Paul and Silas. The only way that he and his family are going to get saved, you're going to have to get beaten, you're going to be humiliated, and then look what happened. But I guarantee after they got saved, all the locks pop open. The guy's going to come, he's going to kill himself when he sees the doors open, all the locks open, I believe, right? Yeah. He's going to kill himself. Paul goes, don't kill yourself, we're fine. You're the guy singing last night. What the heck's going on here? This is our God. All the locks are open. Everything's open. What's going on here? But maybe that was the only way. Here's Yahweh, a God of second chances. And with the neat thing about this, the people that Paul probably wanted to receive a message ordered him to be beaten. Did Yahweh know their hearts?
Uh-huh.
Who got saved? God, isn't that neat? It's just like Nineveh. And chapter 18, verse 6. Another second chances, third chances, fourth chances. Chapter 18, verse 6. I'll speed things up. So I'm gonna, in chapter 18, verse 6, The Apostle Paul had been going to Israel. Israel had been rejecting Yahweh, rejecting the Apostle Paul. And it says in verse 6, but as they began opposing and defaming, shaking out his garments, he said unto them, your blood is upon your head. Pure am I. Henceforth unto the nations I go. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16:28, he goes, this generation will not depart before I come back. Right? He also told Nineveh they'll be destroyed in 40 days. Did they change their heart?
Uh-huh.
They changed the circumstances. Right here, Israel rejected Yahweh's promise of his son coming back. And that's what E.W. Bullinger goes, they blew it. How many promises have you blown and I blown? Did King Saul blow a promise? Because when Samuel went to King Saul, he goes, your kingdom would have lasted forever. You blew it. And here's Israel. And what did he do? You're done. How bad that hurt Paul. Hurt his heart. Who did he want to go to? Israel. But what did he go to? He went to the Gentiles. The Gentiles received him. And this is a lot like Jonah. The Apostle Paul right here in chapter 18, just like Jonah. Where does he want to go? They've rejected Yahweh. And Yahweh goes, I know who they are. I can see their heart. No, we're here. Not the Assyrians. Or not here, not the Gentiles. Here this whole thing is going to, man. In providence, you see Yahweh's plans, and man, he's really, really, really good. You got second, third chance. Look at Victor Paul Werewolf, the Way Ministry. He's a straight-laced, suit-wearing, perfect hair minister. And nobody wanted the word. Who did Yahweh send him to?
Hippies.
Go to the hippies! Not the hippies! Those long-haired guys that don't have deodorant or whatever. What did he do? He went to the hippies. Here's Yahweh. Second chances. Go. Don't use your eyes. Here's second chances. And be excited about giving people their first second chances and stuff. Look at Telios Ministries. Dad's ministry was originally to go teach people to grow up. And the pastors didn't want it. The Bible students didn't want it. The regular Christians didn't want it. Who wanted it? The lay people and the kids. Kenya wanted it. India wants it. You're going to go, so quit being distracted by who's rejecting Yahweh and start looking who wants this stuff. And we got to go, who is Yahweh calling you to? Who is he calling me to? We start looking around. Who needs the second chances? 2 Chronicles 4:65. Got a fifth chances, sixth chances, third chances. And I'm just going to make, if, I was talking to Rachel and I were witnessing last night, I go, if it's something that you want to do and you always want to keep doing it, there's a chance that's just you want to do it. Because you want to do it. And you'll come up with every excuse, this must mean I must go work out. There goes there, you know. But if it's something you don't want to do and it doesn't go away, there's a good chance that Yahweh's giving you a chance going, go this way. I really don't want to do that. Okay, is everybody there?
Yep.
Yeah.
In chapter, this is a king named Manasseh. 12 years old was Manasseh, verse 31, or verse 1. When he began the reign, 55 years. The most evil king of all Judah. We won't read all the wicked things he did. But it was evil upon evil upon evil upon evil upon evil. Until we get to verse 9. They're going to get carried away. Guess who they're going to be carried away by? Assyrians. It's kind of, and so they were, Israel refused. Let me see here. Yeah, he put images up in Yahweh's temple. There's all kinds of different things. But look, in verse 9, and so Manasseh led astray Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit wickedness beyond the nations which Yahweh had destroyed from before the sons of Israel. Yahweh says, I'm a jealous Elohim. You shall not have any other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make an image of me. I am Yahweh. There's none else besides me. Isaiah 45. Today, I'm a believer that sends me a song, Holy Spirit, come, come Holy Spirit, singing to Holy Spirit. They're singing to another God. And they think that Yahweh loves it. That's what Manasseh would have been doing. They had their own little gods, that's how you get it. No, this is the same thing. Aaron built golden calves. No, it's a festival to Yahweh, but here you're singing to us something and you think you're blessing Yahweh. If you're getting really built up by it, that's not Yahweh. And you could be letting yourself into something else. And this happened with Manasseh. How does this stuff get started? And Yahweh spake unto Manasseh and unto his people, but they did not give ear. And that's verse 10. So Yahweh brought in upon them the captains of the army that belonged to the king of Assyria. And they captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him captive with a pair of bronze fetters and took him away to Babylon. But in his distress, how many years, guys? 55 years, right around there. He appeased the face of Yahweh, his Elohim, and humbled himself greatly before the Elohim of his fathers. And when he prayed unto him, then was he entreated of him, and hearkened unto his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem, unto his own kingdom. And so Manasseh came to know that Yahweh is Elohim. And after this, he built an altar on the wall of the city of David, the west of Gihon, the ravine, gone down to verse 15. And he removed the Elohims of the foreigners. Why are those Elohims there? The people want them. They like them. And he removed the gods of the foreigners and the image of the house of Yahweh and the altars he had built in the mountain on the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. And he cast forth outside the city and he built an altar to Yahweh. Man, this guy did a 180. Who did not do a 180? Well, here's another person who did a 180. Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years. I repent. He looks up. King Saul did not do this. Solomon did not do this. Judas did not do this. You're going to go, man, second chance you get to read the rest of this. Here's the sacred stems. And you can see his son Ammon takes over. He does die in Jerusalem. We're probably going to see Manasseh, the wickedness of the wicked, the sins of Manasseh, pass the babies through the fire. His son takes over, his wicked is even just as wicked, does just what his dad says, probably because the people wanted it. Yeah. And then right above it, Josiah, good reign, the book of the law is found. How difficult is it if you don't read the word? But Josiah finds it. He can say, okay, second chances, third chances. Romans chapter 2, verse 11 says, Yahweh's not a respecter of persons. And so we're looking at who we're supposed to be witnessing to. And then also looking at, I think, all of us, that we've missed it. In John chapter 21, Yehoshua went to Peter and said, do you love me? He said, Peter, come on. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Do you love me? And he goes, man. You know, what an uncomfortable conversation, right? We need to be asking for those conversations. Right?
Yeah.
And quit being cowards or counterfeits to say, let's at least have the conversation. I might not be where I need to be to cross that line yet. But I need to know where I'm doing the same thing that Peter did. You told him to feed his sheep. I went back to fishing. Here's Aaron going back to my own ways. At least point out and show this to me. And he'll meet you in the middle. And he'll show, yeah, here it is. And if you're serious, and then you can at least write it down. And then go, help me. And guess what he'll do? He wrapped his arms around Manasseh, guys. Mm-hmm. He wrapped his arms around the Assyrians. Stripped the skin of people alive. What would he do for us? We were in the body of the Christ. Hey, that's it. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the word. We thank you for Elijah's birthday. And we thank you for these words. Fear not, for I am thy Elohim. Be not dismayed, for I'll uphold thee. I am your father, and I look at you as priceless. But I do expect you to grow up. I wait. You wonder sometimes why I'm not continually knocking on the door. Is because your father is not a fool, and I've seen that you will not open the letters I've sent you. But if you start opening them, then I will fill your life with joy, peace unspeakable. I will replace the empty treasures that you have, the fake fool's gold you have, plastic jewelry, you think you're so wealthy in certain things, I'll replace it with real, wonderful jewelry. But start opening the letters that you've rejected. And when you open that one, then we'll start having the conversations that will unleash your life into the full potential. You'll never go back. The apostle Peter did not realize how many people were going to be saved on the day of Pentecost. but 3,000 people because of that sermon he first did. And that was just the beginning. What am I seeing in your future? What kind of great revivals of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, unknown people repenting? I can see it through you. Will you come with me? Amen.